Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. If you're all there, say amen. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David. Everybody say that. Lord, Son of David. That's a messianic title. So she's understanding who she's talking to is what that means. Have mercy on me. My daughter's demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away. She keeps on crying out after us. And he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. That word knelt right there is a picture of worship. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Let's all say that. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord. Wow, she says. Even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. What kind of faith? Great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Father, thank you for all that you're doing in this church, all that you're doing in the body of Christ, all that you're doing in the state, all that you're doing in the nation. We have prayed for years and years and many for decades and decades for a turnaround, and we are in the midst of a turnaround. I pray that tonight that those that hear this message that are gathered in this great sanctuary, all those online, those that will listen later, would be marked, Lord, with truth and revelation to bring an increase of your power, your fire, your purpose, your healing, your kingdom. We thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to someone and say, man, the kingdom of God is here. This is a powerful passage of scripture for a lot of reasons. I've entitled it Unoffendable. I can't say that I've always been unoffendable, but I am walking unoffendable. The hardest offenses to overcome are those that come from those that are closest to us. There's people offended at God by what he does. There's people offended at God by what he doesn't do. I can't help but think about John the Baptist and how he sends his disciples. Ask him if he's the one. John the Baptist says to his disciples, and they come to Jesus, and they said, John sent us and asked us, are you the one? He quotes Isaiah. He says, the blind see, the lame walk. And then he basically affirms, yes, I am the Messiah. Yes, go tell John, yes, I'm the promised one, yes. And then he gives this little encrypted proverb. Blessed are those who are not offended because of me. And you have to ask yourself, why would John the Baptist send his two disciples to talk to Jesus? Why would he do that? And I've thought, well, I think it's so that he would decrease and Jesus would increase. Some scholars say he's in prison, he's isolated himself, and he's lost his purpose. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's unsure. He's unsettled. He's not convinced that Jesus is the Messiah, so he wants to really find out. But it is a biblical thing to say, the man who isolates himself rages against all wisdom. Good to see you, Minister Tommy. Rages against all wisdom, and if you get isolated, you're going to end up dumb. You're going to end up in trouble if you get isolated. We all need each other. Anybody been corrected lately? If you haven't, you might be illegitimate. Anybody else been rebuked by God lately? Yeah, that's a normal part of growing. And so John the Baptist sends his two. They talk to Jesus. Jesus says, quotes these messianic scriptures, the blind see, the deaf hear, yep, it's a miracle. He basically says, yeah, I'm the one, I'm the Messiah. And then he gives this encrypted proverb, blessed is he who's not offended because of me. And they run off. And I had imagined them talking to John the Baptist. And he had to think, like, why would Jesus say that? Why would Jesus say, blessed is he who's not offended because of me? And the answer and the reason is because God does stuff that we are not in favor of. God does things that we don't necessarily approve of. God does things that don't even make a lick of sense. And if you get offended at God, you're in big trouble. And there are people offended at what God does and people offended. Why does that even apply to John the Baptist? Because John the Baptist was going to lose his head and Jesus could easily save him, but he did not. He lost, everybody say he lost his head. Yeah, he did. I've had occasion of being offended. Oh, I can tell you story after story, and I'm going to tell you a few. Because there is a spirit of offense that's operating on a regular basis to try to pick people off, to get people outside of the will of God, to get them off track, to get them to abort the plan that God has. God has a plan for you, but that plan can be aborted. That plan can be shut down, and all that has to happen is you get offended. Oh, I can't believe it. Can you believe what Pastor did? Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Can you believe what my teacher did? Can you believe what Headmaster Susie did? Can you believe it? I have discovered that if I would remain unoffendable, God will continue to use me. But if I get offended, then I will be, in the words of Ivan Tate, suspended. This is a powerful text of scripture. Because here's this Syrophoenician, it's a Canaanite woman, a Gentile comes. And she doesn't get offended, she gets a miracle. I'm gonna teach you tonight how to be unoffendable. Because some of you came out of the womb offended. You were born, you got angry at the doctor, angry at your mother, you're offended at everybody. And it is one of the strategies of hell to get you to be offended, because you will not fulfill the plan of God if you get offended. And yet at the same time, Jesus speaks words that are offensive. Jesus says things that are offensive, like, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Okay, that's pretty offensive. And they were offended and many left him. But Peter didn't leave, and he speaks up for the rest of the disciples. He said, are you going to go too, Peter? Peter's like, where are we going to go? You alone have the words of eternal life. You know, there's been times in my life where I wanted to turn heel and run. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Let it be a revelation to you that there is nowhere to go. Jonah, there's nowhere to go. You cannot run from God. You cannot hide from God. And I've had times where I wanted to quit early on. I don't have any quit in me. I taught my kids, quit is a four-letter curse word. That's how you spell it, right? Quit. Oh, yeah, with the E on the end, it would be quiet. I got it. Come on, lift your hands and say, I'm going to live unoffendable. Say it. I'm going to live. I cannot hear you in this Pentecostal church. I am going to live unoffendable. Somebody says something, hurts your feelings. How do you handle that? What is your response? I've seen over and over people full of destiny that totally trash and derail their purpose because they got offended. I used to say it pretty frequently. I haven't said it in a while, so I'm going to bring it back. If you haven't been offended here, you soon will be. Bump your neighbor and say, have you been offended here? Because I have. Go ahead. Yeah, offense is something that comes. Oftentimes we don't even know when we offend people. Sometimes your face just offends people. Sometimes they're offended. People are offended because they're carrying hurt. And they're just, it reminds them of the thing that hurt them. So they're offended or they're triggered. Triggered. I was getting on the airplane to go to India a couple months ago. And as I'm checking in, the lady says to me, "Oh, so you're sitting next to John Hughes." I said, "Excuse me?" What I thought she said is, "You're sitting next to John's huge." That's what I heard. I heard, "You're sitting next to a guy, his name is John, he's huge." No, that's what I heard. I'm like, "Excuse me, what?" No, and I kind of got like uncomfortable. Maybe I was coming against a little bit of anxiety. He said, why? I was offended just for a moment. I got healed rather quickly, but it was just a few weeks before that I had a guy. I'm gonna need prayer if I keep talking about the story. I had some issues with somebody in a middle seat who I ended up almost yelling at so that I could get him to move. But he was so drunk and so big and all in my seat. He needed two seats. I mean, bless his heart, but I mean, buy two seats, don't sit in mine. He had Esauian hair on his legs. Anybody know Esau? It was winter. It was winter, and you could have braided his leg hair. I'm just saying, this was a hairy dude. Some people have more hair than others. No doubt. Into like a built-in sweater. Anybody know what I'm talking about? No, you know when you see like tufts of hair coming out that's a lot of hair. I'm just, some people genetically, they have a lot of hair. I'm sure it's related to Esau, but bless God. I couldn't sit on the window anymore, and I'm freaked out. And so I said, at 45 minutes into the flight, as I was trying to do some new techniques of staying away from him, but it just wouldn't work. So I turned, I said, dude, hey. He's like, I'm like, "You got to get up, man, because I got to get out." He's drunk. I said, "Dude, get up." Literally, I had to raise my voice. I said, "Hey." He's like, "What?" I said, "Get up." And he's like, and he gets up. He gets out, and I go to the bathroom. I sat down in the bathroom. While I'm sitting there, I thought, this is like first class. And I rode from Anchorage to Seattle in the bathroom. So the next flight I'm on, I'm sitting next to John's huge. It wasn't his name. His name is Pastor John Hughes. I did not know his name was John. We call him Michael. I got triggered and offended by what was happening. Some people are offended because of a hurt or something they went through, a situation. I can be preaching and see like a ripple effect happen in people's countenance. Start talking about fathers. No, you just start talking about fathers. Just preach on fathers. And all of a sudden, you'll see 25% of the congregation get offended because they're wounded by what their dad did and they're offended. Just say, "Father." They're offended at God because we call him our heavenly Father, over and over. So you gotta live unoffendable. Raise a hand to heaven and say, "I'm gonna live unoffendable." But at the same stroke of the pen, there's truth that's spoken, and the truth you need to respond to whether you're offended or not. People do things that are offendable. Apostle Paul told us not to, but people do it. We wanna live sensitive to other people and not be someone that's constantly causing people to stumble. So we need to be sensitive. Scripture talks about that. But Jesus spoke words that offended, and he spoke truth. And people build walls around their lives to keep themselves from being hurt, from being offended. We call them strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God of the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down arguments in every high thing that raises itself up against the knowledge of God." It's talking about What a stronghold is a mindset, a set way of thinking that's contrary to truth. So you can have a set way of thinking that's insulated from truth, and anytime you hear something, it can cause offense or shut down God's word. You say, we can't shut down God's word. God's word is the most powerful thing. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain forever. Yeah, that's true. But Jesus also said, you nullify God's word through tradition. He's rebuking them. So you can actually nullify God's word. You're the only one that can because you're made in God's image. You can. Water does not have a choice. Light did not have a board meeting when the Lord said, let there be light. There was light. There's no voting. Let the waters cover the sea. Let it teem with life. Let there be land. When God speaks, it happens, except with people. People can unplug God's word. And if you're finding yourself offended because you're hearing truth, you know that can be a problem. All right, how to overcome or how to live unoffendable, if you're taking notes. Write some of these things down. The Syrophoenician, this Canaanite woman, could have taken offense. But she doesn't. She doesn't. She comes to Jesus and Jesus ignores her. He does not answer her. Have you ever talked to somebody and they're like, and so, you know, maybe they didn't hear you. My daughter said, Jesus just kind of looks the other way. I mean, we don't know exactly what happened, but he does not answer her. How rude, super rude, Pastor Jesus. You know, I've found when God is silent, something else is going on. You go through a trial. I heard Jim LaFoon say it this way. I found it to be true. There's two kinds of trials. Go through a trial, go through a difficulty, and if you're finding that God is silent, he wants you to draw near to man, to a man of God, to fellowship, and find comfort and help that way. And that at the same time, you're going through a trial, and that's the fellowship, and the counsel's not bringing it. You just need to draw near to God. He's going to be the one that answers. It's a bit of a generality, but it is interesting. Because God's never silent. He's always speaking, even in the midst of his silence. What is he saying when you can't hear him? I heard somebody say to me, where is God? I can't hear him. He's here. You've got to examine your heart and examine your life and find out maybe why can't you hear him? Maybe the reels are too loud. Maybe the din of the world and your desire or your lust or your greed, maybe that's so loud you can't hear. Maybe you want something so bad that you can't hear God saying no. Many stories come to mind, but she's ignored by Jesus. Have you ever been offended because you got ignored? She's rejected. Look at verse 23. She's rejected by the disciples. His disciples come. This is crazy because she's right there. Come on, she's right there. So if Pastor Karen's a Syrophoenician and I'm Jesus, I don't answer her. And then the disciples say, hey, you want us to send her away? She's right there. Let's not talk to her anymore. Should we just send her away? How rude. I mean, like maximum rejection. I've seen a spirit of rejection on people that just absolutely ruins their life. Not long ago, I was talking to a young man whose father won't talk to him anymore. And I mean like a young man, 13, 14. Some problems in the family. And I told the young man, I said, it's not you. It's him. We're going to pray for him. But there's nothing wrong with you. You missed a great place to say amen. Because an adult should respond rightly to a 14-year-old who, you know, there's consequences in different things. And we don't approve of every kind of behavior. Of course not. But you don't cut off a 14-year-old, you. you thing. She's rejected. The disciples are going to send her away. She's a pain in the neck. Like, seriously, let's just send her away. And what is this Son of David thing she's calling you? Just send her away. And it's possible that they're showing racial. It's possible there's racial tension here too, because Jesus is not in. He's not ministering to those with the children's bread. He's not ministering to the covenant people, to Israel. He's talking to a Canaanite woman, and it was not time for the Canaanites. It was not time for the Gentiles just yet. And he's in a place that's outside of Israel, Tyre and Sidon. What is he doing there? Verse 26, look at verse 26 of me. But he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, children's bread is interesting. Children speaking equivalent of, he's using a metaphor. Metaphorically, children means Israel. What's children mean? Israel. What is children's bread? What is bread? Bread is provision. Bread is healing. Bread is deliverance. I mean, he's referring to her. She's like, come and set my daughter free. And he's like, doesn't answer. But then when he finally does, he says, hey, the children's bread. Children's bread, he is literally defining deliverance. In this case, it's deliverance, but it's healing, as children's bread. Children, Israel, covenant bread. I mean, there's a whole other message in here that I'm just going to tap for a second. It is God's will. It is a covenant right for healing to be released in your life. It is a covenant right for you to walk free, for your kids to be delivered. It's a covenant right to walk in freedom and deliverance. And that's what Jesus said. Children's bread isn't just this random thing. It's a metaphor. For Israel's bread or Israel's provision or healing, freedom, deliverance of every kind is belonging to those of the covenant. I mean, that's just really profound. Referring to miraculous intervention of God as children's bread. Belongs to Israel. And you can do a whole bunch of study on that. The New Testament, we've got a New Testament or a New Covenant. We're under the New Covenant. He's referring to the Old Testament, but I believe he's referring also to the New Testament because he knew we'd be talking about it tonight. How many of you need healing? Just receive right now. Be healed. Children's bread belongs to those of the covenant. We've been brought in as Gentiles, some Jews here that have been brought in by the blood, only by the blood. We have a new covenant, a better covenant. That healing is found in the atonement. Release children's bread all across this place right now. Release miracles of provision, miracles of deliverance, miracles of salvation, miracles of healing. Cancer go, disease go, infirmity go, offense. That strategy from the ugly pit of hell, we command you to go. So many scriptures for New Testament healing. The thing with this precious lady, see, you can say whatever you wanted about her. She wanted her miracle. Her desperation was so sincere, it did not matter what anybody said about her. Just, that's fine. Woof. Bow wow. Heal my daughter. Just, yeah, I know I'm outside the covenant, but I know you're the Messiah. And what a response. Her response is that of great faith. You know, when you are passionate and longing and filled with purpose, knowing what God's will is, you'll not be dissuaded. You won't be pushed off. If your passion and the vision that God has for you burns on the inside of you, it doesn't matter what anybody says to you. Because you don't care. Because you know what God's will is. You know what he said to you. And it does not matter what Brother Bucketmouth or the disciples or a pastor. Doesn't matter. I don't mean we throw away accountability and authority. Of course not. In fact, if I ever say things in this church that's not biblical, that's not what I meant. How desperate are you for God to move in your life? I'm pretty well behaved when I'm in public, mostly. There are certain things that push me right out of being well behaved. Injustice, if I see a crime, if I see something happening, I've had to temper myself because you can get shot these days, but, you know, I'm just the way that I'm wired up. If I see an accident, I'm already inside the car pulling people out before my brain ever gets connected to say, be careful, it might blow up. It's too late. I'm already moving. And we've had that happen numerous times. Going up the hill. Going driving up this hill and there's a horrible accident. And the person driving, I said, pull over! I don't even know what I was saying, but he pulled over. I'm out of the car with the car still moving. I raced over there. I'm there before the EMTs. I'm inside talking to the guy and he screamed, my children, my wife, my children. He's pinned. He said, they're not here. I said, hold on. And I look and I find them. They're all got bounced out of the car and they're on the grass. And I said, okay, are you guys okay? He said, we're okay, but I think we need to go to the hospital. Okay, well, they're coming. Lord, help them. Then I went back to the Father. I said, I found them. They're alive. He said, thank God. I said, yes, thank God. Now, if you die right now. No, it's just what came out of my mouth. If you die right now, where are you going? He said, I don't know. I said, you need to receive Jesus right now. He said, okay, yes. He got born again. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. He just said, he couldn't say the prayer fast enough, and oh, he meant it, and he was weeping and crying, and he lived. And that lady went and took an article out in the newspaper and said to that pastor who stopped, I don't know who you were, but we all got right with God. Oh, I went back and led her to Jesus, too, after he got saved. I said, your husband's born again now. How are you doing with Jesus? Said, we need to come back to God. I said, okay, let's do it right now. And she put an article out. They didn't know who I was. And I remember reading. I should have cut it out. My scrapbooking was not up to speed back then. When there's a drive, when there's a hunger, when there's a passion, it does not matter what comes your way. You will stay the course. You stay the course. You stay unoffendable and whatever else the enemy tries to throw at you. Offense is one of the main strategies the devil will use to shut you down. So watch out. The Bait of Satan, I think, is that one book by, what's his name? John Bevere. Everybody should read it. She had an understanding of the goodness of God. Bob Rogers, close friends of ours, he said the greatest revelation he ever had is that God is good and the devil is bad. It's the greatest revelation he ever had. I've said it to you over the years. God, good. Devil, you've got to settle it that God is good. He doesn't give you cancer to teach you something. Where would he get it from? He doesn't allow things to happen so you can get offended and quit. That there is a very real battle, and sometimes here's where the rub is. I mean, how did this happen? Where is God in the midst of this difficulty? Well, he's right there. There is the fallenness of mankind. There is very clear attacks from the devil. There are certain aspects of things that happen, and difficulty happens as a result of nature. Now, I don't know if they seeded the clouds and that's why it flooded in Texas. I heard that. Is that possible? Yes, it is. But it's also possible to the fall of nature All of creation. Creation groans. There are tornadoes. There are things that happen. I do believe that there is things at work that can manipulate weather for certain, but clearly there's storms that come. And sometimes storms come from God. The storm for Jonah was from God. It's hard to rebuke God. They did everything they could, but Jonah's like, you just got to throw me over because we're old bunch of pagans, and they finally threw him over, and the storm was still. It was a storm that God sent because of Jonah's disobedience to get him back on, because 100,000 people, 100,000 people needed to repent because he was going to burn it down. So there are storms that come from God. There's storms that come because of the fallenness of creation, because of mankind. People do things. There is evil, and the enemy operates through people. There are wicked people that are demonized. So which one is which? Well, you got to pray, figure that out. But you must settle it with the plumb line. How many of you know what a plumb line is? A plumb line that God is. I'm sorry, can't hear you. Let's try it again. God is. Yeah, God is good. So I've had things that don't happen, and the timing doesn't seem to work out. I'm waiting for some things for 30 years. But I don't allow my mind to go over to the place, well, Lord, do you even love me? I'm done with that. I know he loves me. I know he's poured out his spirit. I know he's healed me. I know he's set me free. I know that he can do it in a moment. Come on, he made the earth in 6 days, rested on the seventh. It doesn't take but 30 seconds or less to fix your problem. So what's actually happening? I don't know. Just don't get offended at God. If it's the enemy, take authority over him. If it's God trying to get you back on track, Jonah, then get back on track. I don't understand all of it, but this I know. God is good. And this woman understood it. And if you understand that, then it'll keep you on track and it'll help you not be offended. Bump your neighbor and say, I'm going to live unoffendable. And she received her miracle. Jesus commends her, says, you have great faith. You have great, great faith. In the building of this facility, I had many opportunities to get offended. The greatest one was in the middle of COVID. I was in Hawaii. And I was on the phone having to make some difficult decisions. So as I'm about to make a difficult decision, I heard the Lord say, do not die on this mountain. Actually, pardon me. He asked me a question. Do you want to die on this mountain? I thought, do I? Because, maybe you do. But he asked me, do you want to die? I want to die if you want me to. I mean, it was really, really clear, like a visitation from God. In a parking lot in Wailea. No cars. Do you want to die on this mountain? As I'm on my cell phone talking to somebody else. I can't even hear what they're saying anymore. And I thought, do I? And then he said this to me. Do not die on this mountain. Now let me just tell you how offensive that was to me. I don't know, whether it be personality or anointing. There are different anointings in God. Tremendous healing anointings. And there's a special anointing is that God's ability or God's enablement to do whatever he's calling you to do. So there's healing anointings. There's a special anointing that comes at a marriage ceremony. How many of you discerned that before? There's deliverance. There's apostolic anointing. There's anointings for casting vision and on. One of the things that God has given me by the grace of God is I'm a fighter. I like it, sort of. I mean, I don't want to fight, but if we're being called out, I'm going to win. Say, why is that? I don't know. It's just the way I am. So I was confronting something, and I was ready to do it, happy to do it, anointed for it. Like, in me was this, yes, let's drop the hammer. Let's fix this thing. And the Lord said, no, let it go. Well, that was offensive. I said to the other person, I said, you know what? We're going to let it go. And he said, okay, Pastor. I said, okay. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hung up the phone, and I'm closed my eyes, and I'm semi-offended, but I know I've done what God wanted me to. I begin to have peace. I can begin to breathe again, and my blood pressure's lowering and getting stable, and I just thought, oh, God. I opened my eyes, and I am lying on the asphalt in the middle of a parking lot. My next thought is, I think I'm under a little bit of pressure. Help me, God. I got up slowly off the asphalt, unoffended. And I called my pastor. And I'll never forget what he did. I said, oh, Dr. Morocco, this and this happened. Here's what happened. The Lord told me to do this and this and so. And he was very aware of the situation. And I told him what the Lord said. And he just starts laughing. Like laughing. I don't mean like a ha ha ha. I'm like, ha 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 ha. How funny is that? He said, oh, Pastor Daniel, it's going to be all right. And then he says this to me. Just get in the building. Get in the building. Preach off of a milk crate. But get in the building. Get in the building. And that became our declaration. Get in the building. Well, we're in it. Come on, somebody say praise the Lord. If you allow yourself, what would have happened if I responded with this breaker anointing that's on me? If I responded with that normal thing, we might not be here right now. Some of you are offended that you don't get to use your gift the way that you want to use it. Listen, just obey God, trust his goodness, and be after the purpose and the plan and the vision that he has. Get in the building. Release the power of God. See the blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped. Don't be offended. It's taking too long. Who are you? No, really, like, who are you? Like, seriously, what do you mean it's taking too long? Oh, Jacob. Is your way hidden from the Lord? Did you make the sea? Do you know how a baby is formed in its mother's womb? Oh, Jacob, are you devoid of understanding? Do you not know and have you not heard that the everlasting God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he holds all the times and the days and his seasons? Yeah, but Lord, is it at this time? Is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom? Since it's not for you to know the time. But you'll be endued with power from on high. One of the things that keeps me unoffended is that I know that God sees my frame. He's the one that called me. I can't elevate myself. I can't move it to a place that I long to see, but God can. And if I allow myself to settle into his presence and allow his power to come, then he will fulfill his purpose in my life. I'm going to stay unoffended. Oh, yes, I am. I'm going to stay unoffended. How about you? How about you? Or are you going to get offended? Is he yelling? Yes, I'm yelling. Lift your hands to heaven. He spit on me when he was preaching. That's okay. I've been tested. Jesus spit on people too. Hallelujah. This woman understood. The disciples did not understand. Pressed the Lord to release a miracle for the Gentile, even though it wasn't time for the Gentiles to get miracles. She overcame being ignored by her pastor. She overcame being ignored by the King of Kings. She overcame being ignored by the disciples. She overcame being called a dog because she understood God's goodness and the drive and the longing for her daughter to be healed was not going to be pushed aside by any little offense. Can you play some unoffendable music? I've told this before also. On a phone, business conversation, and for whatever reason, the person on the phone decided to call somebody else, except we were still having a conversation. So I kind of don't really know what's going on. I'm like, hello, hello? And we're like, oh yeah, hey, how are you? I'm like, I'm good. Yeah, no, I was just on the phone with him right now, pastor, yeah. Yeah, I'm like, dude, I'm still on the phone. Well, let me just tell you something about pastors. And I thought, I go to hang the phone up and the Lord says, I want you to hear it. I put it back up to my ear and I heard disparaging remarks about me. Oh my God, dude, it hurt. It hurt. It did. It hurt. I hung up and I thought, okay. I'm not going to get bitter, but that hurts, Lord. And the Lord spoke to me before I could sort of whip up my offense. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's like, it starts whipping up. And the Lord spoke to me again and said, son, you have no time for offense. I thought, oh, shoot. And then it just lifted. I thought, well, whatever. I know what you think of me. Next, let's just move on. And by the way, God worked it all out. I calmed myself and eventually confronted. They were horribly embarrassed. And we worked it out and it's all good. Don't be offended. One more story. Woo, feel the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is here. Because some of you have been delayed because you got issues. You got offense. What do I do with it? Get rid of it. Especially towards God, but with others too. It'll mess you up. I was with the youth. My wife and I took a trip over the past couple days, and it's the last moment for leaders in training. It's called Summer Lit for junior high and high school students. We've gone the past 4 years, and I usually preach or share something with them, and so we did that again. The Hergelots and others were there. And I shared my testimony, which I very rarely do, but they wanted to hear it, so I gave them the shortened version of my testimony, which is rather intense. A part of my testimony is that I'm divorced. Before I got saved, I was worthy of being divorced. How many of you know what I'm talking about with the going and not going into details? My two daughters are, you know, in their late 30s now, and I don't get to talk to them. I do believe they look in every so often, so maybe they'll find this. I really would like to have a relationship with them. I pray for it and have prayed ever since I left them. God gave me a new family, gave my life to Christ, and God gave me a new family, beautiful wife and children. That's part of my past. And in the course of contending to try to get custody, I didn't want custody, I wanted visitation. In the course of doing that, we had these mandatory visits. Raise your hand if you know somebody who's been through some things like this. All right, welcome to the human race. Because the enemy's worked hard to destroy marriage and to destroy families, worked hard to destroy fathers. He works hard to destroy mothers. He hates families. God's healing families. And he healed mine. He healed me. He healed mine. He'll heal yours. Just keep coming. Keep trusting. Keep loving God. Keep turning the other cheek. Stay unoffendable. So there was this mandatory visitation. And as I recall, what happened was they pulled up in this beautiful Mercedes touring sedan. I mean, like a beautiful car. And the third party that was going to be there to help supervise the visitation, which was court ordered, got out and said, they're not going to talk to you. They don't want to see you. I said, well, I came all the way to see them, and it is a requirement by the court. I said, well, they're not getting out of the car. I said, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll sit in the front passenger seat and I'll just talk to him for a moment. I had done a 21-day fast. I was ready could be. I sat down in that front seat without giving you all the details. What ended up happening was my eldest said over the top of her glasses, at 12 years old, I think, 11 and 12, my oldest 12-year-old said, listen to me. We don't want you, we don't need you, and you're not our father. You got it? 12. And I said, I will always be your father, and they laughed at me. And I said, one day this is gonna work out, and they laughed again. We don't want you, we don't need you, you're not our father. I said, okay, well, it's gonna work out. They laughed again. I got out of the car. Shut the door. The third party lady got in, backed that Mercedes, and drove on down the highway. And as I stood there, my heart began to break. I don't know if you've lost your kids. I did. My heart began to break. And I don't mean a normal break, not a normal breaking. I mean like a heart-rending fall on the ground, rip. That could not be healed, kind of breaking. And as I began to double over, the Lord spoke to me very clearly. I began to double over and said, oh God. I said to him, that's rejection. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly and said, son, how many times have you rejected me? I was like, what? I said, Can't count. And he said this to me, love them with the love that I have loved you, and it will turn. That's all I've tried to do since that day. That's the key to staying unoffended. It's just love people, love God, lean on the everlasting arms of glory. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I will not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. He's performing and perfecting everything concerning me and you. He's working everything after the counsel of his will. And oh, the timing might not be your timing. And yet, at the same time, God holds time. He's outside of time. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Will at this time you restore my relationship with my daughters? Is it at this time will you restore my marriage? At this time will you restore my fortune? At this time will you restore my business? Is it at this time that you restore my family? Is it at this time? Is it at this time? And the Lord would say, it's not for you to know the times and seasons, although you can be as like the son of Issachar that knew the times and seasons. And you see a red sky in the morning and you know, sailor, take warning. You can see the signs and the wars and the rumors of war. We can see the birth pains clearly, but personally, trust him. Trust his leadership. Oh, lean on the everlasting arms of God. He will turn it around. He will turn it around. Don't you quit. Don't you let up. Don't you stop praying. Don't you stop contending. Don't you stop believing. And the vision and the dream and that which you've seen will come to pass. It shall come to pass. There is no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in condemnation, which can be very offendable. Every tongue that rises in condemnation, you shall condemn. Rise up in a God-given, blood-bought right as a children of God, blood-bought, children's bread. Trust Him. Trust Him. If you've been offended recently and the Lord has put His finger on it, stand where you are. And lift your hands and let it go, because it's for that reason that Jesus died. So don't receive the grace of God in vain. So many do. Say, He hasn't healed me yet. He hasn't done this yet. Somebody said something to me. Trust God. Trust God. David could have been offended as Saul tried to pin him to the wall with javelins, but he constantly overcame, constantly turned. Didn't always do it right, but he had a man. He was a man after God's own heart. Go after God. Don't be offended. Trust Him with timing. Trust Him with these things. With those standing now, I pray, Holy Spirit, touch them. It's a choice whether you're going to be offended or not. Choose to not be offended.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.